On the cusp of the 4th of July weekend, January 6th is starting to feel like a long time ago. But that is the day that Democrats and Republicans in the House are focusing on today. Lawmakers will vote on Speaker Nancy Pelosi's plan to create a select committee of 8 Democrats and 5 Republicans to investigate the security failures on Capitol Hill in January and how false claims of election fraud inspired an angry mob to riot that day. Few Republicans are expected to support it, but we have our political strategists to weigh in. Jamal Simmons is a Democrat, and Matt Makowiak is our Republican. Welcome to you both.
Howdy. Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, and as we know, last month Republicans said no to a bipartisan commission that would have investigated the January 6th riot. The other option now, a select committee that would be controlled by Democrats. Matt, start with you. What's your gut telling you about this?
Yeah, I mean, look, the right place for this kind of effort is at the Department of Justice, where the criminal investigations and charges can be brought. And that's why I believe the Justice Department just announced they've had several hundred arrests at this point, including 100 that have led to convictions. If I have the numbers correct on that, it's a significant number. I know that, whatever it is. That's where you get outcomes. This is, I think, going to be political. The fact that it's an 8-5 split in a House that has a 5-seat majority, the smallest since the 1940s for the Democrats, shows you it's fundamentally slanted in their favor. They're going to try to use this to keep Trump in the news, try to hurt Republicans. That's their goal. I don't really believe it's about trying to learn more about January 6th. The way you do that is you use the Justice Department, all the powers they have to identify evidence, to investigate, to bring criminal charges, to put people on the stand, and to get convictions. And that's what the Justice Department is doing.
Jamal, do you agree the Department of Justice is where this work should happen, not a congressional committee?
Well, the Department of Justice is where some of the work is already happening. People are being investigated. People are being brought up on charges. The question also, though, is the House, the very citadel of democracy, as people say, the place that we all look at on our money as the symbol of our government, was attacked by these people. The House has a right to investigate. The Congress has a right to investigate. And Republicans, instead of joining forces to say this is beyond politics, this is something that the country cannot stand to have insurrectionist behavior on the grounds of our Capitol, have decided to play politics and to not participate from the majority leader's perspective in picking a commission. So now Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, is trying to do something that is as fair and balanced as possible. But what she's not going to do is let the people who have been aligned with the insurrectionists stack the deck to try to turn this thing into a circus and a farce. That would be criminal on her behalf.
Jamal, one of the other big questions here is who should be on this select committee. Pelosi has suggested that she might actually name a Republican to the panel. Do you think she should?
Sure, she should. There are some Republicans who've shown that they are responsible. I think it would be good for the country to have a couple of Republicans on the panel to make sure that we are, you know, the Democrats and the government are behaving appropriately. You know, Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, those are the names that are being bounced around the most. It would be important. But we can't let the Republicans put a spin on this that somehow this is a Democratic problem that is being created. This is a problem that was created by the Republicans who refused to have a 50-50 committee that would investigate an attack on our democracy.
All right, Matt, I'm going to throw it over to you. Who do you think should serve on this panel? One of the names, as we've discussed, as Jamal said, is Liz Cheney. Also, Jim Jordan's name. People are wondering if McCarthy might suggest Jim Jordan sit on the panel. He's a Republican firebrand, a Trump supporter. That would certainly make things more politicized, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, they're going to put firebrands on their side on. So I don't believe in unilateral disarmament. I think you should put the smartest, best people for the job, whoever they are. And that's true on both sides. If it is 8 Democrats and 5 Republicans, that does feel stacked. I mean, Jamal said he was worried we wanted to stack the deck. They have a 5-seat majority out of 435 members in the entire House. If it's 8 Democrats and 5 Republicans, that's a 3-seat majority on a committee of 13 people. That's not reflective of the mathematical and vote makeup of the House. So, look, I do think this thing's going to be a circus. I think pretending it's not is just not realistic. But if there are facts to learn, I want to learn them. And if people have committed crimes that have not been charged, I want them to be charged. Anyone that was engaged in this that can be criminally charged needs to be to the fullest extent of the law.
Do you want to hear from Kevin McCarthy, who had a conversation with the president on the day of the insurrection? Should he be subpoenaed?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I don't think that Pelosi wants to subpoena him because she wants to know what really happened. She wants to subpoena him because she wants to weaken him, because he's almost surely going to be the next Speaker of the House in January 2023. So, look, I think all fact witnesses on both sides of the aisle need to be put under oath in a select committee. I would actually add, and I don't want Jamal to laugh, this is a serious point, Speaker Pelosi needs to be put under the oath as well, and I'll tell you why. There was not adequate security at the Capitol, and that decision was left entirely up to the Speaker. And so we need to understand why the Capitol was not protected. This rally was known about for weeks. The Capitol should have been secure. This is the first time the Capitol has been breached in 150 years. You had members of the House and Senate whose lives were put at risk. And so I do think we need to understand why there was such a security failure as well.
Jamal, was that Nancy Pelosi's responsibility?
I agree with Matt that they should investigate the Capitol Police. Even the Speaker should have to talk about what happened in security preparations. But let's not get sidetracked and blame the woman who has a house and say that she's responsible for the fact somebody broke in it, right? Like, they didn't launch it. What we're finding out now is these members like, you know, Gosar and obviously we've got, you know, MTG and all these Republican members of Congress who are... been in league with some of the very people who we know went into the house. We have got to investigate the people who committed the offense, not the people who were trying to defend against the attack.
In just a word, because I want to move on to something else from both of you, in a word, do you think we will get to the bottom of what happened in this form with a select committee?
I don't think we'll know things. No, I don't.
I think we'll know things. I think there will be things that we don't know. It will take years to find out. Some of the problem is that the fault of this may lie in higher realms than the House is able to get to compel testimony. It may be the President of the United States himself who's in fault.
And we heard Matt say that no, he does not think that this will yield any real answers either. So let's move on to something else. It's related. This week, in excerpts from a forthcoming book by Jonathan Carl at ABC News, we learned that the former Attorney General William Barr said he knew that President Trump's claim that the election was stolen was, I'll say, BS. He used the full term. He also acknowledged launching unofficial investigations of those false election fraud claims to just appease the president. Jamal, your reaction to this news?
Great. Say your truth when, you know, later. But the reality is, though, that Bill Barr enabled Donald Trump for years. Bill Barr was part of the Trump administration's corruption of the Justice Department for a long time. So this particular moment is a nice moment. It does not erase Bill Barr's bad behavior for the time he's been Attorney General.
Matt, what about that? Because in the months leading up to the election, Bill Barr was making unfounded claims about election fraud, about mail-in ballots. In fact, here he is speaking with NPR last June.
There are so many occasions for fraud there that cannot be policed. I think it would be very bad. But one of the things I mentioned was the possibility of counterfeiting.
And Matt, we know that's not true. So do you think Barr really can rehab his image after so many months of promoting that falsehood?
Yeah, I don't think it's about rehabbing his image. I think it's about him telling his story. And, you know, he was not in a place to do that as a sitting attorney general. I mean, this is a time-honored tradition where people leave administrations and they talk about what they saw and they try to write the first draft of history. There's no question. Look, I think Bill Barr is an outstanding public servant. He's been attorney general twice. He's a patriot. I understand that Democrats, you know, don't like a lot of what he did. I understand that entirely. But in this case, I've never said that I believe that the election was stolen. I believe there were irregularities that occurred in some of the battleground states. In Pennsylvania, for example, they violated their own constitution by sending unsolicited mail ballots. Does that mean it was stolen? No. It doesn't mean that. And anyone that's saying that is being irresponsible and trying to undermine faith in our democracy. But I do believe election integrity is a reasonable issue to talk about going forward. We want to make sure legal people can vote as easily as possible and that illegal voters cannot vote. We want to make it as hard to vote illegally as possible. That should be something everyone believes.
It is hard to vote illegally. People do not vote illegally. This is not a problem that occurs in the United States of America. This is something that is made up for political purposes to undermine the election of Democrats.
It is true that the elections are secure, in fact, and Donald Trump, the former president, is very angry about this. In a statement, he said that he lost confidence in Barr long before 2020 in the election. He called him afraid, weak, pathetic. Matt, what is all of this, if anything, do for the former president's grip on his party?
Yeah, look, he's still the most dominant figure in our party. You saw that with the massive rally in Ohio over the weekend. He's about to get involved in some of these primaries, going after the 10 people that voted to impeach him. But his hold on the party is not as strong as it was. And until we understand whether he is running for election again as president of the United States, which I don't think we'll know until at least January 2023, he's going to have a tenuous but still somewhat a strong grip on the Republican Party. And that's something all Republicans got to contend with as we have other people step up to express their interest in running in 2024.
And Jamal, you get the final word here. We have about 40 seconds.
I think Republicans should be afraid. What Americans have decided they don't want is Trump in charge of the government and Trump's allies in charge of the government. That's how he lost the House of Representatives, lost the United States Senate, and lost the White House in the course of 4 years. If I were on their side, I'd want the guy as far away from an election as possible.
Jamal Simmons is a Democratic political strategist, and Matt Mikowiak is our Republican. Thanks very much to both of you. I appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.